This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and it's time for a checkup. And glad to see a new face in here. Nothing against Dr. Michaud, if you're listening, but Dr. Jeff Cochran of Southern Cancer Center joins us. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I'm trying to get you in trouble with Doc, but it's all right. We're you and I had a conversation. We asked for everybody else, but during the news break, we talked about it. Where you're from? Where you hail from?
Come from essentially the other side of the state. My wife and I grew up just a little bit outside Chattanooga, a little suburb called Signal Mountain. We actually met at a camp. I was driving boats at the camp, and she was a counselor, and kind of met in college, and then kind of went our separate ways for a few years, and then kind of reconnected, and we got married in 2005, and then moved off to Memphis in 2007, and kind of then after we did all the training, kind of came back, and now here we are.
That's kind of Hollywood movie stuff, though. For a second, you meet at summer camp,
yeah,
and then you're pulled apart, and then you're back together. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I don't know really that we planned it that way, but yeah, not quite the high school sweetheart thing, but not too far off.
That's pretty good summer camp meeting. Good stuff.
Anybody that thinks that I'm, you know, funny on a consistent basis and can put up with me is a keeper. So
you went with it. Hey, so if y'all are from up there, you know, the other end of the state in Tennessee, what brings you down here to Mobile?
Well, really the job. That was, you know, you do all your everything in training is, you know, one step at a time, and you don't really think about the big picture until, you know, you're kind of faced with that decision.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, I got to do my residency now. I got to do my fellowship now. Oh,
right.
I got to get a job now. You know, so we started the interview trail, and this is where it led us. And we had a great set of interviews down here, and we said, let's do it. So,
and yeah. And it's, you know, there's a lot to offer down here. It's a great place to be, but it's a great, just watching what's happened at Southern Cancer Center over the years and knowing Dr. Michaud as long as I've had time to, decades and decades. You've been with some great folks.
I mean, that's you know, that essentially what sold me on them. Because, you know, I mean, you meet all types and, you know, by and large, you know, everybody you meet on the interview trail is pretty cool, you know, but it's still kind of a job,
mm-hmm,
you know, in and of itself. But, you know, when I talked with Dr. McAvoy, one of the partners,
mm-hmm,
he called, I think it was like a Tuesday or something. But, you know, but when he was on, it was back in February, and he was actually on this spring break. But when we talked, it was just a phone interview kind of thing.
Right.
But we ended up talking for like an hour.
It's like normal.
Normal conversation. Yeah. And, you know, and then when I came down for the first interview and then met, you know, and then came back for a second interview, you know, that just continued with everybody that I met, you know, just like, it was, I mean, I'd never met these people prior to me, you know, physically being
right
in the city, you know, for this event. And, you know, a lot of, and sometimes, you know, the dinners can be very, you know, can be very formal, like, you know, and there's certain questions, you know, it is kind of dating in a sense, and, you know, but you have to, but there's a lot of cut and dry stuff, but I mean, but everything about it was just so natural. It was like, you know, I was talking to a relative, or, you know,
right,
catching up on old, or a friend that I hadn't seen in years,
right,
you know, even though I'd never met these people. And one of the big things that always kind of, I was looking for, you know, in a practice was, you know, there's always different reasons, you know, you need to be in this part of the country, or, you know, this, you know, pay structure, or
right,
I'm looking for this particular aspect of the job. But one of the biggest things that I put emphasis on is, you know, the job's hard enough as it is, you know, so you really want to get along with the people that
you're going to have to see a whole bunch.
I mean, cause you're going to see these people probably more, you know, in a lot of ways more than a lot of your family.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, and you're not necessarily always going to get along with everybody all the time, but I mean, but that's what it was. It felt like home. It felt like family. It was that kind of like small town feel, you know.
It's pretty cool to talk about, because you said the dating term, like, you've got the cut and dry. Obviously they're interested in you because you're bona fides in medicine, but
right,
then there's this other part that people never think about for physicians. Actually, they're coworkers, and they have to.
Oh yeah. I mean, cause again, you know, you're taking call, or, you know, or hey, this emergency comes up, and, you know, and I got to go do this, and, you know, you know, you just want to know that people have your back and are, mm-hmm. are you know, you go, cause they're, you know, cause even, you know, within a practice, people have their patient base and they're, you know, they have their clinic to run and you've got right. your clinic to run. And it's just what I saw when I came down here was even though you have all these docs doing all this other stuff, it all worked. It all gelled. And, you know, and like I said, I mean, to be able to feel like I knew, you know, even though we're going through the cut and dry stuff, you know, I mean, I think the first dinner we had, it was, Lauren, our director, Dr. Heller, Arledge, and McAvoy, and my wife and myself, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think they blocked off like 2.5 hours or something yeah. out of their time. And I mean, we filled it up, you know, it was like just because we were just talking and having a good time. And it was like, right. it literally was like going out to dinner with friends and family that you hadn't seen. And I mean, you know, and if you can do that.
It's a great testament. I mean, patients really to is. Think about it, like they're listening to go, these folks get along at that level too. I mean, we know that you're all very good at what you do in treating cancer, but to know that like that camaraderie.
Oh, because you can't fake that stuff.
Right.
Like,
true.
You know, you can be, you know, you can be the smartest, the best at this, you know, what have you, but people can tell like if, you know, the chemistry's mm-hmm. not there, like, and that's what this was. It was just, I mean, it just felt natural and easy, and it, you know, it wasn't forced. Like, you know, they gave up their time because they were looking for someone to come down to fill the need. I was looking right. to fill that need and find a practice to start.
The match was made.
I mean, right?
It's good. So let's talk about this too. So you come down here and you're coming to like a dream team of people in the cancer world. You're coming in. What type of cancer are you interested in? What do you focus on? Like
all of it. We're gonna do okay. all of it. I mean, at least at the beginning, you know, I mean, you know, as you start and you build your practice, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm going to do one thing more. So,
okay.
so yeah, because I think, because, you know, because that one kind of, I think, pigeonholes you a little bit. And, you know, as you're building a practice,
right.
you know, you need to be seeing patients.
Sure.
And, you know, but one of the cool things about oncology is that, you know, with other fields of medicine, you know, sometimes, you know, like my brother, he does orthopedics. I mean, okay. he may have newer technologies, but he's essentially replacing knees and hips all day.
Right.
And that's okay. That's what he likes to do.
Yes.
But the cool thing about, you know, oncology is that, you know, I can go, you know, hey, this is, you know, like Taylor Swift, she's got her Eras tour. You know,
right.
Hey, this can be my, you know, my colon cancer decade.
Right.
You know, this is going to be, you know, my lung cancer era. You know, it's like there's just so many cool technologies and treatments coming out all the time.
But all the time is the thing that gets me as an outsider. I mean, it keeps my hair blown back just hearing about the things like from 1 year. It's not just in this decade we made this advancement. Oh, yeah. It's like last year we're doing this and now I'm blown away with technology.
I was talking to we're out, you know, meeting doctors in the area this week with the marketing department. We kind of ran across a drug rep and he had introduced himself and I just said, hey, nice to meet you. And he told me what the drug he was talking about. And I asked him a question about it because when I was taking my boards last year, you know, I was doing the board review course and they were talking about, you know, this particular medicine and, you know, the criteria that got it to be approved.
Right.
And now they have more information that criteria that the company did a study and it's already better than, you know,
than it was
just a year ago. And I mean,
right.
and that's happening all across the board in terms of cancer. I mean, the stuff that I was in training, you know, 5 years ago that we were, you know, presenting in our journal clubs, is practice changing technology or practice changing treatments is now the standard of care and is already kind of falling by the wayside because we got newer, better stuff coming out.
Yeah. Like watching this through your eyes, you know, and all the other doctors at Southern Cancer Center, are we at a, always screw up a logarithmic or exponentially. So let's just go, are we at an inflection point or is the pacing going up faster than before?
Don't know. You gotta have a real, I mean, you have to understand you have to have kind of a basic understanding of how research does so that you can apply it to your cancer. But you also, but to say, you know, where we're going in terms of that, you really have to have more of a research brain. And that's not really
your front lines.
Yeah.
You're not ivory tower.
Right.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, but there is, right. I have learned over time that you have to, but no, I'm the guy, like you said, I'm your patient. I'm seeing patients and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think it will be interesting to see if you ask me to kind of predict a little bit. The only way to answer that for sure, you know, because who knows what, like, you know, you're seeing AI as a real hot topic now.
Sure.
Who knows where that's going to go and take us in the future. You know, I think the kind of the rate, I mean, it's still.
You only do it looking in the rear view. Like, I can't say how steep a climb, right? Because I can't see how the front, but behind us, it looks like.
I think what kind of to help determine the rate of how things change, it's at least in oncology, I would say that it kind of goes back to how, you know, how quickly do technologies, like basic science technologies, change our understanding of the disease.
Right.
Because, you know, when you hear, you know, people like Dr. Michaud and my program director, for a time back when he was training, he said that he gave it up for a short period of time and went back to just do internal medicine because he was so frustrated with the lack of treatments options that he just kind of felt like he was making people sicker and not really making a huge difference. Well, now with newer, better treatment regimens, you know, we're training in certain types of cancer, we're training the immune system.
That blows my little mind up, man.
I mean, and I've seen it. Like, it's crazy. I mean, you know, in decades, and there's nothing wrong because it was the science we had. So I guess to say that, you know, as the basic, you know, if we find a gene or a mutation, and you're seeing that a lot already now with a lot of what we call next gen sequencing, you know, that's where they biopsy the tumor and then we send the tissue off to run all these really special tests. And, you know, if we find certain mutations for things, we can say, oh, well, you know, so you coming in as the patient, hey, but sir or ma'am, you know, this is what we see. And, you know, we're not doing chemotherapy over here. We're going to either, you know, we can give you a pill for this, or we're going to give you some immunotherapy.
Because it's customized to that person.
It's becoming that. And so as we understand the basic science better, that's where you're going to see that's where AI may change things. So to say where we're going is going to be very hard because, like I said, if AI or somebody comes, you know, like, we were kind of watching, you know, in terms of like, we were watching some true crime stuff over the weekend. And, you know, my wife was talking, was like, well, how did they not know that? Well, the stories we're watching happened back in the 70s and 80s, you know, when they weren't using like DNA and all that kind of stuff. And now we're just like, oh, well, you know,
you assumed it.
On the cop show, you know, they would have said they'd have got them like, you know, way back when. And so it's kind of like that how do they do that? Well, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, but as we understand the diseases better, you know, that's where all that stuff's going to take. So when you see somebody come through with a breakthrough, you know, hey, this gene or this, you know, this happens in these, you know, cancers. And like I said, that's led to things like what we call targeted therapy, which is, you know, a lot of times can be given in a pill form. I mean, you know, I saw a patient in training that had, metastatic melanoma, you know, brain mets, the whole thing. Yeah. And just in his follow-ins, and he had one of these things where we could give him, you know, not chemo, but immunotherapy. And we watched his cancer melt on the just serial scans. Like, I mean, he went from like, you know, stuff that he would have had to have, you know, brain surgery. Now, again, and these are very broad terms. This is not necessary for every cancer that walks in the door. But I mean, but for those kind of things, you know, people that, that is an insane technology.
Yeah.
That, you know, hey, we can give you a liquid medicine. It's going to really make your immune system really mad, and it's going to fight your cancer. And there's going to be some side effects potentially, but it's much more tolerable and better for you than what we traditionally had.
Yeah.
And like I said, over the course of the time that we were saying, like, he had no evidence of cancer. I mean, it was crazy.
It is amazing. And it's like every time we sit down and talk, there's going to be something new. So I can't wait for you to come back and tell us more about it. I think you've fallen in with the right bunch of folks at Southern Cancer Center. It's a good folks. You seem like your personality fits exactly with them.
Well, good. Glad to be here.
It's Dr. Jeff Cochran. You can see him at Southern Cancer Center, and we'll get him back on the show soon.